This jitta is a, and there's a lot of interpretations, and there's a lot of it can be pretty confusing sometimes. Sometimes conflicting definitions and ways that it's talked about. But it's like in that even in the tradition, it's like there's a very well-known discourse that where the Buddha talks about this mind being radiant, but it is defiled by adventitious defilements, and stained by adventitious defilements. And then they what they talk about the say papasara citta, the mind, this mind is radiant. And then the commentary then goes off in saying, well, the papasara citta, the mind is this is the kind of Bhavanga citta, the sort of the subconscious stream of subconsciousness, and but in that discourse, the Buddha talks about this, it is stained by adventitious defilements, but it can be purified of those adventitious defilements, but what. You can't do much with a Bhavanga citta. I mean, it's just sort of it's this subconscious stream that is there. It's not really, it's not really. It's just sort of a force in nature. So it's the citta in that sense is much more the say that potential for. A mind of peace, of freedom from suffering. It's a potential. The citta is a container. It's not a fixed thing. Or in sometimes when people talk of say the papasara citta, as if it's this is the kind of like the unconditioned, the unconditioned, the mind of sort of the unconditioned, the mind of sort of kind of original mind, sort of thing of the being, the unconditioned mind. But then, I mean, you can't really do much with the unconditioned mind either. That's sort of an end point. And then what would the unconditioned mind be having adventitious defilements coming into it? It's not really part of the picture. So that this the citta is it is it has its potential of radiance, but it needs to be trained, needs to be purified, needs to be seen clearly for what it is, and seeing that okay, it can experience greed, it can experience non-greed, it can experience anger, and it can experience non-anger, it can experience delusion, it can experience non-delusion. It has all those potentials. It can be distracted, it can be exalted, it can be concentrated, it can be unconcentrated, it can be liberated, it can be unliberated. And it's up to us to experience it so clearly, so fully, that the obvious thing is to allow that which is unsettling the mind to drop away and to return to the, you know, sort of the stillness of the mind, the its potential to just be the knowing, that base of knowing. So when Tanchukun Dhammapito and Prapayuto defines jitta, it's that which receives the objects of the senses and knows them, and the mind being another sense. The mind being another sense of it, that which knows and brings it into the heart, that sort of the jitta being the fundamental awareness that knows and knows clearly. So that experiencing the mind, experiencing the jitta, experiencing that capacity for knowing, and returning to that knowing, staying with that knowing, recognizing that that's where our refuge of peace is. It's not in the moods of the mind, the objects of the senses, the world outside us. I mean, it has a, we obviously can't shut it out, and there's no point in trying to negate it, because we just end up spinning ourselves out that way. But having a ground to experience it from, that is the jitta, experiencing the jitta, experiencing the mind, and not being drawn out into the confusion of Seneca Jencha, one who's lost in the world, is lost in the moods of the mind. One who gets lost in the moods of their mind gets lost in the world. And so not being lost in either of those or confused with them, returning to the jitta, returning to the knowing.